Hello and welcome to episode 105 of the Card Hoarder Podcast, your source for Magic Online news, community, and finance. Be sure to check out cardhoarder.com for buying and selling Magic Online singles with round-the-clock customer service. My name is Connor. I'm the host and editor for the podcast, joined as I am always by my two co-hosts, Nathaniel from Card Hoarder and Dave C. from Ireland. How's it going, guys?
Going well, thanks.
Going pretty good for me. I'm a little bit slow right now. Like, it took me about 10 seconds to realize that we'd started recording, I think. And I'm like, oh, wait, there he goes. So otherwise good, though.
Yeah, I don't have that luxury.
Fair enough. I'm just, like, tired and maybe hungover and maybe a little sick and maybe, I don't know. So I'm just kind of sitting here being a bum today. So
I'm a little bit sweaty. It's so hot out. Why is it so hot out?
It is so hot out. It's unacceptable.
Oh, it's been scorching here. For once, I can agree with you guys. Hard to sleep, kind of weather.
Yeah.
Hard to just breathe. I had to work out. I had to work in the sun last week for about 10 hours. I just had this like bad heat rash on my chest. I was like,
wow, 10 hours in the good. Sun. That sounds pretty rough.
Well, it was like 3 hours not in the sun, I guess, but still. It was a long, long day for sure. Yeah. It was still hot when the sun went down, so it still counts.
Yeah. Yeah, it's still a bad counts. Heat wave for sure, like throughout the U.S., I think.
See, at least you guys all have, like, because it's always hot over there at some point in the year, you guys are like an air conditioning culture. We don't have that over here. I have no air conditioning in my house. I just have to have the door open. All the bugs get in. It's awful. We're thinking of getting a fan for the first time. We don't even have like a fan in our
what
house.
You don't even have a fan? That's amazing.
No, because like this weather's lasting quite long over here now, but usually we can just tough it out for a couple of weeks and it'll peak and go back down, so it's not like a great investment to have proper aircon. Last year we're like, oh, it's so hot, we'll get a fan, and we just haven't got around to it this year. But also, you know, stores do have air conditioning, but it's not as cold as in America. Not like big stores do. Some small stores don't.
Yeah.
I've noticed that when I've gone to Europe. I actually like that a lot because when you go into places here, or like when I've worked in different offices before, it's like shivering cold. But in Europe, it's actually like comfortable. It's nice. It's a nice balance.
When I was over there, it was so funny because the heat doesn't bother me, but the humidity in Chicago bothered me.
Yeah.
So you're gasping for air. You just can't get enough air in when you're over there, and I go into like a Starbucks and it's like a freezer, like it's winter all of a sudden. And I can't believe after a couple minutes in there, you forget how hot it is outside. You're like, oh, I forgot my jacket. I'm such an idiot. And then the humidity hits you in the face like a wall. Like you walked into a wall when you leave the Starbucks. Like, oh, I remember why I'm basically naked walking around. This is awful.
All right. Well, enough weather talk. There's plenty to talk about in the Magic world this week. And of course, we have the banned and restricted announcement that happened this week. And the majority of the talk was if good old Goblin Chainwhirler, was that going to get the ban hammer or not? But with the results from Nationals, it seemed to be safe to say, or I should say U.S. Nationals. I don't know if any other country's Nationals were this weekend, but U.S. Nationals happened this weekend and seemed to be safe to say that it doesn't need to be banned, and it wasn't. So we have no changes to Standard and Modern. But the third format in the next Pro Tour, that's right, Legacy, we have two bans. Deathrite Shaman and Gitaxian Probe, get out of here. So both cards have been on the radar. Personally, I wasn't sure if Wizards would pull the trigger. Top was banned. Actually, I looked it up. It's like a little over a year ago to this point. So this might even be a greater shakeup to the metagame since numerous decks use both of these cards. So chat me up, guys. Like, what do you think of the bans? Was this necessary? And what do you predict to be the real winner from all these bans?
Just from a Legacy point of view, I think the bans are perfect. Both these cards shouldn't exist. They're both mistakes in design. I know that, what's Ray Duke's brother called?
The guy what's he called? Ian Duke is his name.
Mr. Duke.
What's his name? What's his name? Mr. Duke. Ian Duke at one stage, I think, is quoted to say Gitaxian Probe is just a straight up mistake. And they don't, very rarely do they just say it's a straight up mistake to print a card. Oh, you know, we could have done this differently, or we designed it to be around these cards. But I'm glad Gitaxian Probe is essentially unplayable in every format. That card's a massive mistake. I think Deathrite Shaman's on the same level. I've talked about it on this cast. What it enables, the degeneracy for one mana, the fact that four color piles of Delver nonsense can play Wastelands. And it's going to shake up the metagame in a massive, massive way. Not only will a couple of the decks that played both these cards, like Grixis Delver, which was probably the best deck for a while, just disappear, or turn into something completely different. We're also going to see maybe a shift back to basic lands and deck and two color decks. And that means stuff like the lands deck doesn't play Ghost Quarters. It plays, you know, ports again. And it means probably decks like Death and Taxes get a new breath of life. And there's a lot of interesting things going on. As usual, the community are very panicked that all the degenerate combo decks are going to come back. But I don't think that has ever happened after a ban in my lifetime in Legacy, so I don't see why this would enable it as much. But I think these are very positive changes for the format.
Well, I have reactions to Dave's statement about Deathrite Shaman, but Nathaniel, let me hear your thoughts first.
Well, as you know, I don't really play Legacy that much, though I follow several people that do. It seems like everything's kind of been well received, and I think the results from what I've seen recently, the metagame had kind of gotten a little bit stale and boring. So if nothing else, it'll shake things up and make things hopefully interesting once again for those that were getting a little bit bored with the status of things. But I don't know enough about the various decks to know who gets helped and who gets hurt. But, you know, Probe, just a free cantrip is, as Dave said, a mistake. You just see in so many decks, even when it was in Modern, right? It was just everywhere. So I was a little surprised because I hadn't heard people talking about it. So I didn't know it was in the discussion, but Deathrite, I've heard people complaining about it for, I would say, 2 to 3 years at least. I don't know why now is the time, but okay. it's sort of how I feel.
It's just the Pro Tour. That's all I can think of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
They might have banned them one at a time. You know, I think Probe was definitely the next card to go. And a lot of good players I asked when I, you know, should Deathrite go? Like, I don't know. But probably something from Grixis Delver. There's no reason for Probe to still be in the format.
Right.
You know? So I think that was next in line, and there was a good chance if the Pro Tour wasn't coming up, they would have just gone Probe, see how the format goes. Okay, Deathrite's next, but I think they sped it up a little bit.
Yeah.
So, yeah, a couple thoughts. I highly disagree with your assessment, Dave, of Deathrite Shaman. I mean, it's good because of fetch lands. I mean, this card wasn't the menace in Standard. Probe, on the other hand, it's a much different story. I mean, Probe was degenerate in Standard even. Every format it's played in, it has definitely been just obnoxious to play with. But
agree.
Yeah, this card has been targeted by its power level. I mean, even years ago, I remember Patrick Sullivan would always tout, like, why is this card not seeing more play? And then eventually players quickly learned, yeah, this is a broken card even in Legacy. The two life just never mattered in a format like Legacy, so it's essentially free. Of course, the synergy with Cabal Therapy was obnoxious, and I think that was the initial like combo that people used. But as soon as like the better Delve cards came out, I think it just shot up in popularity. I'm just glad this card won't be in a part of Magic ever again. It's broken in every format, pretty much. It's even restricted in Vintage, so that gives you an idea of the power level of this card. So good riddance. And Deathrite Shaman, I just think it's more for diversity reasons than power level. And when thinking about it, I played against a lot of Deathrite Shamans in my time playing Legacy. So it's going to be really odd not seeing them across the battlefield for sure.
I hadn't considered the Pro Tour, but that kind of bums me out if that's why it's happening now. We've had that discussion before, but you know, having to make changes for the Pro Tour in WotC's eyes, I think is kind of weak.
But why wait? We know it's a problem. Why wait then?
Right. Well, I guess if you were saying, I don't have an opinion one way or another, if it's because of the Pro Tour or not as to why they would do it. So you're saying it needed to happen sometime in the near future. So why not now? I thought you were maybe saying, yeah.
Right. Well, it's a good excuse for them just to do it, because part of what the stagnant formats, and this kind of happened with Standard as well, is there's not a lot of relevant tournaments anymore. Now that SCG is not really focusing on Standard anymore, we get less relevant Standard tournaments, and the metagame just kind of gets stagnant. And with how they're shuffling when the Pro Tour is as well, these formats just get in these weird cycles now. It's bizarre.
Yeah, it really is. Well, one other thing I haven't seen too many people talk about that, right, Shaman? That's actually going to have an effect on the format. And you don't think of Legacy like this because of all the degenerate turn one combo decks, but the format in general slows down by a turn now. There was a lot of decks trying to go as fast as possible because a Delver deck starting with turn one Deathrite Shaman meant it had access to so much mana over the next couple turns, and that was so fast. And Deathrite Shaman, even if you run them out of all the other resources, is a very fast clock. You know, draining them for two every turn is fast. So the format might just slow down a smidge, and blue-white control might be more profitable and stuff like that. And lands, as I said, gets a boost, and that not being the fastest deck anymore doesn't matter because the other fair decks have to slow down as well.
I'm not sure I agree with the speed assessment, but I kind of liked your idea, the notion of different lands maybe seeing more play and getting an uptick. I'm not sure about port, but I would think Wasteland is way better now because there's a lot of times, oh, I don't want to Wasteland them because that's just putting two lands in the graveyard for Deathrite Shaman because you're just staring at a Deathrite Shaman and they have one or two lands. Like, do I Wasteland or not? So it was always the song and dance that I'm just so glad I don't have to do that anymore.
I also think Stifle's probably going to see a massive uptick.
So how is it for Death and Taxes?
I never thought the card was a huge problem. It's overall probably better because the Grixis decks kind of gave them a problem.
Yeah.
And it hurts elves. So you would think it would help, but who knows what the metagame is going to look like.
Yeah.
I think people try and put these like firm predictions of what the format's going to look like. Oh, Reanimator is going to be broken. It's like, come on. Everybody thought Storm and Elves was going to be the metagame after Top was banned, and look where we are now. Didn't happen.
There's one deck that takes a huge hit that doesn't even get any cards banned that I thought was funny. The big red deck that was doing kind of was tier 2, 1.5, taking down some tournaments. We saw it take down Birmingham. That deck kind of relied on these Delver and Fair decks playing no basics because of Deathrite Shaman. And now, again, that might be two-colored Delver decks. We might see like Teemer Delver that plays some amount of basics or doesn't care that they're losing some of their basics.
No, Teemer never play basics.
Yeah, there just could be a couple different iterations that might play basics or don't care once they get their one-mana threat down that they have any lands anymore. And this deck depends on screwing you off of non-basic lands with Blood Moon, Magus of the Moon, cards like this. So that deck might just get a lot weaker because it doesn't have an archetype to prey upon anymore.
Yeah, I agree. Blood Moon Strategies might see a downtick because another thing that Blood Moon Strategies was good against like decks like Jund as well.
Yeah.
But taking Deathrite Shaman out of those decks too is a huge boon for them.
Oh yeah, the random non-blue mid-range decks, they take maybe the biggest hit because I don't think they can exist without Deathrite Shaman speeding them up.
Yep, farewell. I will not miss you. So, any last thoughts?
The two other formats with no bans. Just want to quickly give my 2 cents. I think Chain Whirler, fine. Doesn't need to be banned. A whole set's about to rotate with lands in it, which is important because it's a triple red spell. And there's not good fixing in the new set coming out. And an entire new set's going to come out. I don't like what it's doing to the format in particular. I don't think it's ban-worthy. The format still has multiple decks. I would just like if X1s were playable as all. We might just have to go through a while where that's not the case. And Modern, what's a brother got to do to get a Stoneforge Mystic? Come on. It's getting ridiculous now. Just unban the stupid card. It does nothing. Come on.
I think it'll happen at some point.
It has to.
I guess there's enough changes in the other formats. You just don't want to overload the player base with all these changes, I guess. That's my theory craft on that.
Yeah, I would agree.
Well, here's a question. Is it, if you think it does nothing, then why unban it to begin with? Just to sate people's desire to not play it still?
Nothing's a bit hyperbolic. And yeah. I think it could see some play in some decks. Like, I think the Mardu midrange deck that like splashes on white might go a bit heavier white to play this as their like very inevitable win condition.
Yeah.
I think that there's like mono white hate bear decks that will choose to either play this or Leon and Arbiter. But because Leon and Arbiter stop searching, maybe this card can't even see play in those decks. And there's one or two other fringe decks that would enjoy this card. So I think this card would actually see some play, help some low-tier strategies, and not be broken. And that's why I think it should be off the list. There's always a question of why take anything off the list, because it's always a risk.
Right.
But if they're willing to risk Bloodbraid Elf and Jace, which are both way more powerful cards and way more risky, if either of those cards were too good, they are not fun to play against. I think they're way more risky than Stoneforge Mystic. Then why not just unban Stoneforge Mystic? Give people their toys. Give people more variety. If anything, it just makes people want to play Modern for a little bit. Spice up the format.
For sure. And going back to my point, just not overloading players, I think they'll maybe wait until like it's just a Modern Pro Tour to do something like this.
Yeah. Two of the formats of the team Pro Tour having complete big changes that people have to test for might be a lot. Already, this is such a massive change to Legacy. Like, its best deck is just gone. they're going to have to do a lot of legacy testing, which is cool. I like that. I'm talking, a friend of mine is qualified and I'm already talking to him about legacy. So that is nice. But if you're going to change every format, what do we pay attention to in coverage as well, right?
Yep, yep. And I mean, Modern's just a wide format in general anyways, so it doesn't really need it anyways. And don't forget, we have new cards coming into Legacy as well from Battlebound as well. So there's a lot of different moving pieces here.
I forgot that, yeah. And a new set out, and you know, there's some good cards for Modern in there. We said Modern Elves might just be great now and stuff like that.
There we go.
Exciting Pro Tour.
So to me, the ban seemed to be a step forward. But of course, Magic seemed to take a huge step backwards with this announcement from last week. This is just hilarious. I've been waiting to talk about this. I can't wait to hear you guys' thoughts on this. All right, let's Silver Showcase, gentlemen. What a name. Quote, it is a very special event featuring 8 players. $150,000 prize pool. Rochester Draft will celebrate Magic's origins. It will highlight players from the Pro Tour, past and present, as they revisit a beloved old format using booster packs from Magic's first year. We got 3 packs of beta, Arabian Nights, or single pack of Arabian Nights, single pack of Antiquities, and 1 pack of Legends. And draft is going to take place the Thursday before the Pro Tour. Who is playing? We got Raph Levy. Okay, not the most well-known pro. Whatever. Okay, European kind of... Your European guy, I think there's 2 European guys.
Yeah, he's been to like nearly all the Pro Tours. He's been to like a million of them. His longevity, which is cool. Yeah. Is impressive.
Right. Thumbs up. Sounds like a good conclusion, right, guys?
Yeah.
Cool. Shuhei Nakamura, okay, the popular Japanese pro, Hall of Famer. Good?
Yeah. Shuhei's probably good for that region's representation for sure.
All right. Winner, John Finkel, best player of all time. Slam dunk, no need to...
Yeah.
Also, again...
Moving on.
Insane longevity.
Yep. Paulo, okay. There you go. You got your South America representation. All right, cool. Moving on. Brian Kibler. Wait. Brian Kibler? What? Mm-hmm. He doesn't play Magic anymore.
I think he might have streamed Arena at one stage.
He did. So, yeah, this is where it gets a little weird. We have Sifka, David Williams, Jason Chan, a.k.a. AMAZ, as the other players. So, we have these 8 players... playing for a huge amount of prize money. So first place gets $35,000, $12,500 just for showing up. And on top of that, cards each player drafts will be donated to Child's Play to be auctioned off later this year.
I want to put that prize fund into a little bit of perspective. I saw someone tweet this out. You get more money for showing up to this draft than for winning a GP. You get more money for showing up to this draft than you do for getting 5th at a Pro Tour, as far as I know. That is the perspective you can put these winnings in for showing up to this draft.
Yeah, there's a lot of things to unwrap with this. I mean, we discussed Magic was thriving. Like, our last episode, we were talking about how great SCG Con was and GP Vegas, how great those experiences were from a viewer, player perspective. Nothing's really changed in the game, really. Magic isn't dying from this announcement. And obviously, this announcement doesn't make sense. I even asked my wife, can you make any sense of this? And she had nothing. What is going on here? Why is this bad for the game?
This is bad for the game. I agree with you. No matter what, at the end of the day, Magic is still going to sell insane numbers and still going to have an insane number of players. This is bad for the game because it shows an utter disregard for competitive players and what they make. There's been multiple conversations about professional players playing the game professionally, and what Wizards gain from them. Because, you know, it's not a charity. We're not expecting them to do it for no reason. But I think one of the reasons for Magic's longevity and how encompassing it is in a lot of people's lives is because of professional players that put out content, win tournaments, and become names in the game. SCG banks on that with their own subsection of players as well. So we know that it works. We know that it drives sales. We know that it's good. There's nothing wrong with the event itself. There's nothing wrong with inviting high profile players from another game, Hearthstone, to get some cross kind of contamination almost of the player base.
Yeah, let me step in. There's nothing wrong with event, meaning there's nothing wrong with the concept, you're saying, right?
Yes, there's nothing wrong with the concept of this is a cool draft format. Let's run it. Let's invite some Hearthstone pros that used to play Magic.
I don't know. I don't know if Rochester is the best way to highlight Magic's past. So I think I'll disagree with you there.
Well, I think Rochester is great. if it was with cards that everyone understood. That is another level of it, and I'll get to that in a second. So the event is fine. The fact that the money payout is so high to people that don't contribute anything to the game is insulting to people who do contribute stuff to the game and people who actively try and make a living off your game because you offer prize support at tournaments, because they do try and make it possible for people to be professional. But these people are not making good money. There's no player in the world that can just play Magic and make even minimum wage. They have to be good enough to be writing for websites. They have to do podcasts. They have to do streams. There's no one making enough just off playing the game of Magic. And for a long while, it looked like Wizards just weren't willing to put the money into it. You know, the Pro Tour is marketing, and they already put a lot of money into it. So, you know, maybe they can't afford it. Maybe the budget's not there. Well, apparently it Dragon Maze is, because they just drop it on this event where a bunch of Hearthstone players who do nothing but make money for themselves and none for Wizards are going to get paid more than winners of GPs, people who have to trudge through Magic events. And I know a lot of people who've won GPs that go to nearly every GP within an 8-hour flight of them just to win once and break even. And these guys just, they have successful streams, so we're going to throw money at them. It's insane.
Nathaniel, I want to hear your take on this.
I would, it's
can't even talk.
And that sums it up. And I think that sums it up.
Choking on my own rage here.
Seriously, it's not rage.
I was just quoting Simpsons, yeah.
How could they have let this go through whatever process they have for approving this sort of thing? And admittedly, it's probably a short process at this point because they're immediately jumping on the hype train from Vegas, which is what, just a couple weeks ago, from the beta draft and how excited everybody got by that. They're like, all right, let's do something. And then they came out with this. So maybe they just kind of skipped the people that sanity check stuff. I don't think there could be anything sort of more insulting to... Because this is at the Pro Tour, right? The event's going to happen at the Pro Tour.
Yep.
The Hearthstone players get a free invite.
And then all these people get an invite.
Hearthstone players get a free invite.
Yep. So it's just, I don't know what they're thinking about their existing player base, though it feels a little bit like Arena does to me, which is sort of thumbing your nose at your existing player base and just hoping that you get the Hearthstone numbers coming in and you don't care that you've just flip the bird to your entire player base that has been playing your game for X number of whatever. So I think they also could have just not had a prize pool. They could have just quietly paid them whatever, $10,000, $12,000 each. It would still be crappy, but it wouldn't be so flaunting. They could have made all the prizes go to charity or something, but they each get whatever, $10,000, $20,000, however much they want to spend.
Cedric Phillips made that point. If this was all for charity, no one could complain. If every penny of this was going to charity and the players got to keep the cards.
Right.
Some players might still open good money. They all got an invite to the Pro Tour. Maybe fly them out and put them in a hotel. You don't have to tell anyone about that. In fact, that might be happening.
Yeah.
We don't know. And then a big chunk of money goes to charity. You look great. You still get to say, you know, I gave prizes to people, but they can choose what charity to give it to or something like that. And everyone looks great coming out of it.
Yeah.
Instead, the charity gets some unknown amount of money, which might literally be, you know, 1,000. That's it. It depends how the packs break. You could get really bad packs and just not get much for them. And the players get minted. I don't know how much Brian Kibler makes in a weekend, but if it's, you know, that minimum, or Amaz, if that's what he makes minimum a weekend, maybe I didn't try streaming hard enough.
Yeah, no, they don't. I saw Dave Williams tweet something that like he charges a $10,000 appearance fee or something minimum. I was like, who's paying you $10,000 to show? I mean, maybe it's a poker thing.
Yeah, he's a little
thing.
Different for sure.
He was on MasterChef as well. So at least he has like, he actually has probably more,
I know,
like notoriety than the others
reach,
in it.
Yeah,
but even then, I don't like Dave Williams does, being there. Like, he's a fine Magic player and he's this nice guy, but Kai Buddha isn't there.
Right. Kai should absolutely be there. It's kind of crazy that he's not. But in my mind, because like back when I played during that era, like he was just, what was his nickname with the Juggernaut?
German Juggernaut.
I mean, and it totally was. And so, him not being there it blew my mind. But there's so many, like, if they wanted to have this be sort of fan favorites, of Magic fan favorites, then that would make sense. I don't know if these players are fan favorites of their respective games.
They would be.
Amaze or whatever.
Amaze and Kibler are very big personalities in Hearthstone for sure.
Right. And Dave Williams has that reach outside of even gaming and I guess and maybe poker. But who are you targeting with bringing him in? I think this is
the major point. Another big fall down. So let's ignore the money. Let's pretend we don't care about the money, which we do, but let's pretend. They then are reaching out to these people that are outside Magic's sphere of influence, but still know how to play Magic well. Okay, I get that. You're reaching into other audiences. That's just good marketing. So what do you do to show these other audiences your game? Well, we take these cards that even enfranchised Magic players have no idea how they work or how they look or how they're worded, and we make them draft them Rochester style. Will anyone know what Rochester is? Nope. How long would that take? 3 hours. Oh, okay. Could we not just have drafted some Dominaria and given a lot of money to charity? Nope.
How interesting are those games going to be? Oh, Circle Protection Red. Here we go.
Yeah.
Can't wait.
I like Rochester. I was arguing that the Pro Tour should be Rochester draft to up viewers because I think following Rochester, once you know what it is a lot more interesting because you get to see a whole table of strategy opposed to two people. But doing it with cards that aren't recognizable, that you're going to have to pull up Oracle text for, that have abilities that I don't know how they work, is so bad.
Yeah, that's a good point. I hadn't even considered that you're trying to target people outside of Magic, and people in Magic can barely probably tolerate it. It's more like the hype factor about opening up something cool, and you know, I mean, so that's a very good point. I hadn't considered that. It's just, but it's them trying to jump on the train, right, from the Vegas thing, and it's like, oh, this was really like everybody was really into this, like boom. We're going to do it again, or, you know, but just completely muffed.
It's very muffed. Short-sighted. I mean, there's diminishing returns with opening old packs. So why are we running it back again? They
had two ideas, and one of them was a marketing idea to get Hearthstone viewers and Twitch viewers. And that's a fine idea. And they had an idea to reward some old school players and have some really cool nostalgia so we could get a bunch of actual Magic players to watch. Because don't forget, we have very small views in the Pro Tour, but there are 15 to 20,000 Magic players out there. Magic players out there.
The big problem with this is, Dave, I'm sorry I have to stop you, because we have to remember this event is on Thursday.
Yeah.
This is not peak viewership times for the Pro Tour.
For anything.
For anything.
Yeah, so that is also a mistake, but I can see two separate concepts, and it's as if they couldn't choose which concept they want. So they mashed them together to make something much worse than either one separate, which makes no sense. To have both, have like one draft that's like old Magic Legends and have another draft that's like celebrities that love to play Magic. Get like Day 9, Will Wheaton plays Magic. Get like Will Wheaton in there or whatever. Throw money at that table and throw it, like, as Nathaniel said, like personally to them, like under the table. Here's 10 grand for showing up. Also, the winner of the draft gets to donate 20 grand to their charity of choice. You know, there's so many things you could have done, which is such good marketing and so positive for the image of Magic. And instead, you made a Frankenstein's monster of bad ideas.
Even if they had allowed the Pro Tour players to be, like, they would have been hyped. I think part of the reason the Vegas thing got hyped is because everyone was so excited to have a chance to play it. And the fact that it's just like, even if they had chosen all the right players, like 8 of the top Magic names, current Magic names, I still think it would be a little disappointing for people to not have the chance to get in or something, you know?
Agree.
I think one of the things that Cedric kind of brought up too, he had a podcast with Jerry about this. And yeah, it's this weird, how did we get to this point where this was like, the best idea? Because if you just take like 5 minutes to think about it, there's so many other better ideas you can think about. He brought up doing cube draft, which I'm like, okay, that's fine. It gives or vintage cube. You can give that allure of still opening up a really cool card like a Black Lotus. Sure. I'm not sure that my opinion, that's not as cool, but it's for like for your 25th anniversary, like what was a tournament that like the community loved, but Wizards just hated doing. So they phased it out. The Invitational. That's like, okay, perfect. Why not just bring it back one time? That would have been so cool. Yeah,
have the card next.
I would have actually watched that. We would have been so hyped to watch that. I know WotC, the reason why they stopped doing it is because they hated collaborating with players to making cards. They just did not like that process.
Is that really why?
It's part of it. I'm sure there's other reasons why. I'm sure they wanted to cut costs, but yeah, they said that was a headache.
Costs were a thing as well, which they never like to admit, but they were essentially putting up people in like nice hotels in their random nice locations for it. But if it was just, I think people would love it if it was just like in Seattle, like just at their base, you know what I mean? Like they've done
with some for sure.
But yeah, that's an amazing idea. They just invited 10, like 8 to 16 people, and you could have Hearthstone celebrities in there, and it's the Invitational, and there's a cash prize for first, and you get to design a card. Whoa, possibly the last Invitational card of all time. That would have got so much viewership. That's ridiculous. It's such a good idea. And this is just random people in the community throwing out ideas. And they're all better than Wizard's final product.
Yeah, just think about it. Say Amaz, somehow he wins the Invitational. He gets to brag on social media, hey, here's the card they created for me. Like, that's a good way to reach that crowd. Not just, hey, I'm playing Magic this day. I might be on camera, maybe. There's little reach to that. There's very little return that's worth your investment here. So, yeah, obviously there's way more angles you could have taken with this. I think the point that Jerry and Cedric brought up that I did not realize is that it seemed like Wizards just kind of deceived pro players, which we've talked about a lot in this cast of Wizards being transparent, and they just totally weren't with this kind of event. It was just kind of like, oh, surprise, you guys got screwed. That feels crappy.
Yeah, they had announced this event like a long time ago, but not what it was. There was just going to be something. As far as I can gather from tweets, some people got invited to the Pro Tour, and they assumed it was going to be for this really cool event. Like, Kai, I think, was invited to the GP, or special invite to the GP, or something like that. I don't know exactly what. He's like, well, now I don't feel good about going to this, because I thought it was just an invite to the Silver Showcase, or whatever it's called, but apparently not. So maybe they just had a bunch of them come in case other people canceled or something. I don't know. But it's pretty weird. I don't know.
This what it was for Jerry, he said he got a sentence that say, you should show up here early just in case type of thing. Like they hinted at pros, hey, there's going to be a special thing for you maybe. It goes back to the pay the pros thing. Hey, you're going to get in. We're going to pay you back at some point. And now this. And it's just being betrayed and they feel deceived. So I can see the outrage here, because a lot of people are like, oh, just the pros are complaining again. No, this feels terrible.
One of my points on social media was, you know, the pros are going to kick up enough fuss that something like this probably won't happen to them again. Or best case scenario, something good happens, like more money is added to the Pro Tour or something. But one of my major points again was how hard it is to win a GP, how many GPs you have to go to before you're good enough to win one. And how little money that is compared to what Wizards just get to throw at this draft. Because again, showing up to this draft, more money than winning a GP, let alone winning 3 rounds of drafts is multiple wins of GPs, you know? That's insane. No one ever represents the GP player. The middle guy, the guy I was trying to be, the guy that might spike 1 or 2 top 8s of GPs, but in general is just grinding out to try and get good enough to get at that level to stay on the Pro Tour and win a couple GPs. Over the last couple of years, they keep moving silver and gold up harder and harder every year to make it. No further incentives for you to make it. Just gets harder every year because they don't want that many golds or silvers. GP price keeps going up and is a monopoly, so we'll keep going up while nothing again is offered in prizes for us. And now the ultimate disrespect, you can spend all your money on Magic you want. You just keep throwing your money in a well and wishing that you'll be good enough at Magic one day. Amaz has been invited to 2 Pro Tours and now gets the equivalent of winning a GP. He might win the whole thing. He might get the equivalent of winning multiple GPs. Take that, dedicated players. And no one's going to defend us. No one's going to defend the middle guy. There's no voice. There's no Brian Kibler to strap off and not play Magic Online anymore until GPs get good payouts, you know? So we're just stuck. We just have to take our lumps or stop playing like me.
Yeah, it's a tough situation. It's a tough situation that a lot of esports are struggling with as well. It's obviously different because Magic is such a different game. We have such a different system in place, having variants and cards being worth money. So it's a tough situation to be in. So it's just going to be a long road for sure. Nathaniel, what are your final thoughts on this?
I got to agree that I'm definitely on the pro side. I think it was really ill-conceived, sort of quick thinking, maybe didn't go through the proper channels. And if you're going to spend 150 grand, there's a lot better things you can do. And I will also add that I know that this Pro Tour is like a bunch more money. It was like 850K instead of the normal 250. Is that number accurate?
I think so. I think it's like overall it's $1 million with the draft.
With this 150. How do they count that in the payout?
Yeah, that's what they're counting it as the payout. I think I saw something.
Oh, like really? Oh, yeah. Okay, well.
Yeah, the Pro Tour is 850,000.
Which is a lot more than they have typically done. So there is that. And in the face of that, I think it's less insulting. Just so poorly done that it just feels like, how are you going to knee jerk spend 150 grand? You know what I mean? Like, it feels like that should have gone through some more iterations and thought, but it hasn't. We'll see if it accomplishes what they want it to, but it always seems like there's something. Something goes really well, like the Vegas thing, the draft there, and then it's one step forward, one or two steps back, depending on your perspective. So,
yeah, I saw someone tweet, and I'm starting to agree with them. Again, Wizards are in two minds about thing. Either fund a pro scene like an e-sport and go at it hard, or don't and abolish it. Don't give us this half-assed kind of idea. Keeping people on the line, having them not make much of a living, having them then complain when you give money to other stuff to make you look really bad. Either have just GPs and fun events where you can win money and have stuff like Star City prop up to, help with their own competitive scenes, or put some actual time, effort, and money into making the Pro Tour what it needs to be as an esport. I'm kind of sick of it being between both.
It's another topic for another day of just whether Magic really needs to be pushed as an esport. I agree the Pro Tour just needs to be redone. We just need to start over. I don't even want to say that, really, but it's having the Pro Tour 5. It's a promotional tour. Cedric brought this up as well. If you're going to be promoting the new set, don't have the Pro Tour 5 weeks after the set comes out. What are you promoting that? It makes no sense. Anyways, yeah. That's another topic for another day.
Again, between two worlds, right?
Yep. All right, well, let's talk about the new set before we sign off here. Core set 2019 is coming out very soon. So I thought we'd do our picks. So we usually do favorite card, least favorite card, and our speculation pick. So who wants to go first? Who wants to go first with favorite card? Let's get positive. I want to get away from this Silver Showcase debacle. Please, let's talk about some new cards because that's where Wizard shines. And this set actually does look pretty decent.
So one of my favorite cards, because it's one I discovered a bit late just looking through the spoiler, is Dryad Greenseeker. One in a green for one tree, Dryad creature. Tap it, look at the top card of your library. If it's a land, you may put it... you reveal it. If it's a land, you may put it in your hand. And this is like a fixed Sinbad. If anyone has ever played with Sinbad, that old of a card, probably Nathaniel. You probably played with Sinbad.
I don't think so. I know the card.
Yeah, is that blue card, the blue creature?
Yeah, it's like a 1-1 with the same ability, except if it's not a land, it just gets put into the graveyard. Which in some ways can be more powerful for a dredge strategies, let's say, but in other ways less powerful. I think this blocks really well early, doesn't get killed by Chain Whirler, and it creates card advantage for a green mid-range deck going late. This is a card that's not only good against aggro decks because it blocks well, it's good against control decks and mid-range decks as well. And there's rarely green two drops that are like that. You're looking at really good utility creatures like Sakura Tribe Elder or like Tarmogoyf that are massive threats, or maybe even Scavenging Ooze, but even stuff like Scavenging Ooze isn't fantastic against control decks. So I love green utility creatures. I think this guy might be overlooked. Green does not see a lot of play at the moment outside the mono green Stompy deck, which needs very certain cards to work and probably won't play this. This could give birth to like a good green mid-range deck.
Good call. Yeah, it was something I overlooked for sure. I'll go next real quick. Dragon's Horde is actually my pick for favorite card. I went back and forth with Dark Dweller Oracle, that sweet goblin 2-drop. Love that card. And I do like the new Wrath that's like similar to Austere Command. I always like those kind of cards. But Dragon's Horde is definitely my favorite card. It's a 3-mana. It's basically just Manolith, but it has upside that when you play dragons, when they enter the battlefield, you can essentially draw a card. It gets a counter. You have to tap it to draw the card. I just think this is kind of like perfect for dragon ramp decks. Like the problem with ramp decks sometimes, they run out of gas when ramping, and this card gives you a little extra fuel. I mean, the dragon has to enter the battlefield, so it's not a cast trigger to draw the card. So if you get countered like if your dragon gets like countered, you don't get to draw that card, which is unfortunate. But it looks like a sweet pickup, say like in if you're drafting five color dragons or something like that. And I actually might pick this up for Commander as well. So I think this is a sweet card. Variation of a mana rock. I always like the mana rocks with like slight upside in a way. So I always appreciate these types of cards. It is a rare, proper rarity, I think, for this one. So really cool card. I always like Dragons Matters type cards.
You can pair it with Astral Slide, too.
Now we're brewing.
I think that the card probably, if there's any kind of big red dragon deck, which there could be, that we have the Kicker Dragon from the last set, the card that I like that never saw any play. But this card could be it, like some kind of red control deck that finishes with some card advantage dragons at the end. Or even the big hasty dragon that turns into an egg when you kill it. I can't remember its name.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, you play the Kicker Dragon. That way you can't draw two cards, so that's why it's a tap ability to do that. So that makes sense.
Yeah.
Mine's going to be quick and easy because I've already talked about this card, but Nexus of Fate, I love extra turns. I love the instant speed on this one. Nice little change of pace for it. So it remains my favorite card in the set, but I've already talked about it.
It's not technically in the set, so does
what?
That count? Man.
You don't think it counts? Because it is like it's the buy a box promo or whatever?
Can't open in a booster. I'll accept it. Do you have an Outer mention?
Man, I actually prepped. No, I didn't do a secondary one. I love the Goblin Trashmaster as well, although he's one of my spec picks.
Ooh.
But, you know, the casting cost is maybe a little too high, but any Goblin Lord given +1/+1 and like a unique sort of sideboard ability that you might then have main deck, I think is pretty sweet. We'll say that's my honorable mention. Have they said whether Nexus of Fate is going to be in boosters on Magic Online at all?
Treasure Chest, they announced it.
Oh, okay.
Wow, I hope that card sees 4 of play. It's a $1 million card. It's going to be fantastic. I got one more if you want one more. I got Dismissive Pyromancer, 1 and a red for a 2/2 human wizard. Red and tap him to discard a card, then draw a card. 2 and a red, tap him, sacrifice him, deal 4 damage to a creature. Just a fantastic utility creature. I think in red burn-based decks, being able to throw away fodder. You know, we've talked about red decks in the past. They're fantastic when they draw 5 lands, but awful when they draw 6. This card stops you from drawing extra lands. On top of that, it's a wizard making your lightning bolt cost 1 mana. And for 3 months, we'll have two 1-drops that cost that are wizards and a 2-drop that's a wizard. So that's 12 wizards in your main deck for the lightning bolt, making it super consistent.
Mm. Red doesn't need any more good tools, man.
It got one. It got one. That's my spec, because I don't think that's being talked about too much at the moment.
Okay, that works. Let's go right into least favorite cards. I'll just start us off. Vine Mare. It's the Hexproof 5/3. Can't be blocked by black creatures. It's 2 green, I think. It's kind of the black sheep of the hate cards, I feel. Also, Hexproof is just boring. Nobody likes it. At least this card is double green, so it's not as easy to cast and construct it. But Hexproof, go away, please.
If this card isn't good, like, if black decks aren't good, that's fine. But if this card is good, it's going to be awful to play against, you know? Least favorite card. There's a lot of good cards in the set. Least favorite card.
Yeah, I will say it was a struggle to find a least favorite this time around.
I have Tezzeret the Artifice Master. That's 3 blue. Starts with 5 loyalty. +1 loyalty, make a 1/1 artifact topter. 0, draw a card for each artifact you control. Oh, no, sorry. Draw a card, and if you have control 3 artifacts, draw 2. And -9 to you get an emblem at the beginning of your end step. Search your library for a permanent card and put it onto the battlefield and shuffle your library. So pretty much win the game over a course of a couple turns. I think this card is a lot of fun, but super overrated. I saw people rating it so intensely high. And I think him and Karn could be in a cool deck together, but I think he is middling when you have cards like Glorybringer in the format coming down for 5 mana. I think 5 mana make 1 topter is pretty awful.
Well, I thought it was properly rated. If you listen to the game podcast, they had it on the middle of their list, so I'm not sure where you're... No, that's okay. I'm sure... I mean, when I saw this card, I thought it was going to be very, very good too. Yeah, I think it's the how good the 0 is going to be, how good like are the artifact based decks going to be. Yeah, I'm not sure. They haven't been good the whole time in standard, so I'm not sure if this card will tip the scale at all. This didn't have my pick as a speculation pick either. I originally thought it was going to be amazing, but I have more and more I think about the card, it just seems fine to me. I agree with you. Five men and planeswalkers, they need to be a little heavier on the power level for me.
I think minimum for me, they need to kill something. Very minimum. Nathaniel?
Go with your least favorite.
I actually had a really hard time picking a least favorite. And I don't think there's much that I dislike. I think Apex of Power is probably where I would land, just because I hate opening those types of mythics when I'm drafting, because it's like, I mean, you're not...
Which
that's a 7 and 3 red, so 10 mana. And
oh, yeah.
Exile the top 7 cards of your library. I mean, conceivably, it goes into something, but nothing I would ever play, I don't think. And therefore, it's just kind of a boring dead card to me. So I'll be interested to see if maybe it gets into something, but it's mostly kind of seems like a throwaway mythic to me.
Yeah, I can agree with that. I do not tend to like the wacky red cards that they're either like stupid broken or just unplayable. So that I always get upset with red cards like that. You know, green or blue never really get those type of cards. It's always red.
I agree.
Always it is red.
Not that we can complain about red's power level right now, but it is red that always gets that.
Yeah.
I can. All right, well, let's finish off with our speculation picks. Nathaniel, you start us off first.
All right, so I've got a couple, just so I can, you know, throw a few more darts at the board. See if I can get one. Resplendent Angel, I think, is going to be really strong. It's pretty pricey right now, so I put in parentheses here, depending on the price you can get in at, but it does seem like it's going to be a strong card.
Angels are always popular for casual crowds.
Yeah. It just seems like there's a lot. And it just 3/3 for what you get for 3 mana, it seems like it can withstand the test of time. Alpine Moon, I think, more of a longer term sort of sideboard option, depending on the supply of the set. But I think it's going to be, because it's just 1 mana, interesting to keep as a sort of a longer term spec. Again, depending on what you get in at, but like I think that's more down the road. And I mentioned my third, Goblin Trashmaster. It just seems like a lot of potential for goblins. The casting cost is on the high side, so maybe it won't quite get there. But I think it's got some good potential as like a cheaper sort of spec.
I've also already mentioned one of my specs in the Pyromancer. My other one is Graveyard Marshal. I think he's very cheap at the moment. He is like close to €1 on Magic Card Market. Black for a 3/2 zombie. One in a black, exile a creature card from, it's only your graveyard, but you create a 2/2 zombie. That's so grindy. And that's such good stats for a 2-drop. You know, we've already had Scrap Heap Scrounger, which is probably just better than this card, but that is going soon as a reliable reoccurring threat. And I think this does the same. Good stats in the early game, grinds out the game late if you're playing this guy with 5 mana up and straight away make a 2/2. I think that's just insane.
Okay. Originally, I had Crucible of Worlds on my speculation pick, but I decided against it. I mean, it's the third time it's being reprinted. My original thought that long term, it could be a nice pick, just because cards like this, usually it's like originally it will be a couple bucks, and then over time it will go up because they usually don't reprint these type of cards that much. I think it's actually like a perfect spot to, like, it was the perfect reason to bring like core sets back, just to bring cards like this for sure. So I'm glad Crucible is in here. I'm hoping to see, I'm interested to see what the price is on this going forward. But I decided to go with Sarkhan Fireblood. So the 1 red planeswalker with 3 loyalty, plus 1 you rummage, so discard and draw a card. And then also you can add 2 mana of any colors, but you can only use it to cast dragons. And then the -7 is create 4 dragons with flying. 3 mana planeswalkers are typically a good bet. The previous Jace was a bust, however, and we don't mention Tybalt's name ever. Red planeswalkers are also kind of risky, though, because they've mostly been busts until recently. But I don't know. I'm willing to have faith in this card, and I'm going to stick by my guns here, and this will be my speculation pick.
Yeah, I hope it's not good, because this into Chandra for 3 months does not seem fantastic, but I could definitely see it.
That's a good. I like that pick. I mean, 3 mana planeswalkers is a good bet. Or good, you know, toss it out there, see what happens.
Thank you. All right, good picks. Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing what the new set delivers in Standard. I'm not going to draft it very much, so I'm not a huge fan of core set drafts, but definitely will like to watch a few games for sure. But I think that's going to do it for this episode, guys. I want to remind everybody about Magic Online events coming this week. So speaking of core set 2019, it comes out this Friday on Magic Online. That is July 6th. Otherwise, enjoy your paper pre-releases this weekend. For context, hit me up on Twitter at Connor P. O'Donnell, or check out the other podcasts I work on. We have the Game Podcast with Jerry Thompson and Brian Gottlieb, WCW versus NWO Podcast. It's the wrestling podcast Dave and I do. We're recording a new episode this week, hopefully, so be on the lookout for that. Also been streaming Earthbound lately, an RPG that just eluded me in my youth, so it's a fantastic game so far, so check me out at twitch.tv/ConnorOD. Dave and Nathaniel, where can our listeners contact you?
You can find me on Twitch. I'm at DaveC89, that's S-E-A on there. Shout at me about any of my hot takes. I'm also a streamer, but I've been a little sporadic with it recently and trying a couple new games like League of Legends and Hearthstone. I'm DaveC on Twitch.
For me, at Card Order is typically me replying. If you'd like to have a lengthier conversation, email us best, Nathaniel@cardorder.com.
Dave, streaming Hearthstone. You're trying to get that Silver Showcase money.
They showed me how to get there. I just got to follow the path.
Always comes full circle, of course. All right, guys, that's going to wrap it up. Remember, you can find the show on cardorder.com. Thank you, everybody, for listening, and we'll see you next time.